The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see Kalshi.com/regulatory.
Hour number two, Darren Donick and Chase on this Friday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And you heard me say it. To wrap up the last hour, yes, can you believe it? Yes, there is going to be a live sporting event this weekend. Yeah, we had the NFL draft. That was live and real, but it was a draft. This is actual sporting event, something that we can talk about. And somebody who covers the UFC for ESPN, Brett Okamoto, is on the line with us. Brett, how you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. This is going to happen, right? This is not some big giant tease. This is going to go off tomorrow night?
That would be a pretty cruel thing, I think, for the UFC and ESPN and everybody else involved to have this be a big tease. But yeah, man, I mean, I remember when Dana White, obviously the president of the UFC, came out and said, yeah, we're going to do this thing on May 9th. It was met with so much skepticism, which I understand. You know, I was tweeting about it or putting it on Instagram, social media, a lot of the response was, this is never going to happen. You know, they had canceled five or six events up to that point. And I was like, you know what? I actually think this is going to happen, though. I think the UFC, I knew that all the work that they were doing behind the scenes and how committed they were to doing it. So I'm not surprised to see it actually going off this weekend.
How difficult do you think? Because we've been saying on this show, I mean, we're difficult. We're sitting here talking 4 hours a day about sports that isn't happening. So we understand, you know, everybody's dealing with a lot of difficult stuff. Ours is a lot less than trying to figure out the safety for fighters and putting on something, you know, where everybody can be safe. And how difficult was it behind the scenes to make all of this, you know, get to this point?
Very, very difficult. I think that there were plans A, B, C, and D, you know, by the UFC, just especially like a month ago when it just seemed like, and it still is the case now, but particularly a month ago when it just felt like everything was changing literally by the hour, you know, that like they were getting an idea of, you know, maybe we could go here or maybe we could go there or we have some support to go here or there. And then just as more data was coming in and the situation just around the country was getting worse, it felt like, a month ago. Just the situation continued to change, you know, and that was impacting the athletes who, you know, would say like, all right, I'll agree to this date. Where are we going? We don't know where we're going, you know, but we're going to keep training in the hope that it happens. And then fights are being canceled and moved around. So it was very, very difficult. And I haven't even mentioned, you know, just the protocols and the procedures that they had to come up with to make it then safe when it actually did go off. So I think it was more difficult a month ago when things were changing so quickly. But I think the UFC was always pretty confident that they could put together a plan. They just needed things to sort of kind of calm down, or they just needed a location, you know, where they had permission to do it, they had support to do it, and then they could implement that plan that they've been working on.
The UFC has brought fight cards to Nashville. We've unfortunately never had a pay-per-view card, but I have been to many, many pay-per-view cards around the country, so I understand how the whole dynamic works. I know how Today works. I've been to weigh-ins. It's a big deal, especially out in Vegas. I've been there with, you know, thousands and thousands of people at the weigh-in, so I understand how it all works. How different is the entire routine that the UFC's been doing for almost 20 years now? How different, Brett, is it going to look today, tomorrow? Kind of take us behind the curtain a little bit. By the way, is the media allowed to even cover this? Is media allowed to be there?
You know, I've talked to some people that are on the ground. I'm not there in Jacksonville, but I've been, you know, staying in contact with some of the media that I know, obviously. And they believe that they will be allowed into the arena. They still haven't been told exactly where they'll be. I don't think that there's any chance that there'll be a press row at all, you know, but I think that they'll be in some type of room, you know, probably sitting apart from one another, and then maybe they'll bring in a fighter and do some type of, you know, scrum interview. And in terms of just, you know, how things have been different, I think that they've been drastically different in some sense, but then also familiar in some other ways. You know, I mean, these guys are used to going to a hotel, you know, all week. They check in. They have a lot of media obligations. This week there was kind of less media obligations just because, you know, you can't be seeing media up close and in person. I mean, they did, again, like a scrum-type video conference call where just all the media was called in and they could ask questions, you know, over their phone while the athletes sat there on a video conference call, like a Zoom meeting, basically. But other than that, you know, and getting their temperature taken and kind of having to go through those medical screenings, those additional medical screenings, these guys are cutting weight, you know. I mean, that's a typical fight week. So they're not really, like, high energy. Occasionally they might walk around to just take their mind off of it and get out of their hotel room. But by and large, I mean, they're working out a little bit. They're staying fresh, and they're dropping their weight so they can make weight on Friday. So I actually think that these guys were able to get tunnel vision. And even though they were in a hotel it was a lot more empty than it usually is. You know, usually you got fans trying to come
right,
around and
everywhere.
Meet them. You got a bunch of media obligations. I think, like, the process of making weight and now going out and fighting has been probably pretty familiar to them.
The sport feats, and I realize we can't be choosy in these times. Right now, we're just talking about actually something live that's going to happen tomorrow that we can actually talk about over the weekend and on Monday's show. So we can't be choosy about this, but like I said, I've been to these events, and I know this sport in particular, how much it feeds off the crowd and the atmosphere. It's fantastic live and in person. I mean, it's dynamic, and the fighters feed off that as well. It actually comes through the television screen when you're watching it too. That's going to be weird, right? I mean, that none of that dynamic. I know Dana White has said, hey, the sport was built, you know, the UFC fighter, Ultimate Fighter actually helped build the sport, and I agree with it, but that's still going to be, it's going to be a different deal watching it with nobody in the stands, right?
100%. Yeah. Yeah. And I think it is going to feel different. And, you know, coaches are taking that into account where everything that they say, you know, their opponent can hear, the judges sitting cage side can hear. It's different, you know, and again, I think that there is some familiarity from the people involved, because a lot of times, you know, on the regional circuit, before you make it to the UFC, you're fighting in front of crowds that aren't very big. So I think that these guys do have some experience in terms of, you know, fighting in front of crowds that are very small. But there's a difference even between a small crowd and then no crowd whatsoever. But, you know, I heard you guys kind of closing the last hour, and that's how it is. You know, I think that the other sports are going to experience that as well. You know, I mean, when NBA picks up and a guy hits a game-winning three-pointer and no one goes crazy, like, that's going to feel weird for a while. But I think that that's probably the way it's going to be for a little bit.
And especially crowning champs, right? I mean, we've got an NFL team and a National Hockey League team, you know, two professional sports teams in our town, and they could, you know, the Predators could win the Stanley Cup literally in front of no one and not have a parade too. Like, how weird would that be for a city and a market?
Yeah, and I think about, like, a guy like a Tony Ferguson, you know, at the main event, and even Justin Gaethje as well. You know, neither of these guys have ever had a official UFC title fight. Tony Ferguson has had an interim before, and this is an interim title fight. But you think about, you know, the long journey that they've had to get here and how important of a fight this is in their careers, and you know, to get a belt handed to them after what I think is probably going to be a really good fight. You know, I think it's going to be a close fight. If it plays out like a lot of people think it's going to, it's going to be back and forth, you know, and so to put in a full camp, to go out there and have potentially a real tough fight and then, you know, achieve something that you've been working for a very, very long time. And then I don't think they're even going to interview them in the octagon, you know, because they don't want an additional person coming in with a microphone and talking to them. So it's a crowning achievement, like you just mentioned. And in this case, you know, in an individual sport, a tough sport, and they're not going to get sort of, you know, that moment where you know, they can experience it with the fans. And that's another part where they're really feeding off the crowd. You know, I've seen a lot of people deliver some great post-fight interviews and speeches because they're feeling that energy of the people, you know, that are cheering for them. And now it's like, you know, that energy is not going to be there. So it's tough, man. It's not ideal, but it is what it is right now.
Well said. Brad Okamoto on the line with us, covers MMA, UFC for ESPN, and UFC 249 will be in Jacksonville, Florida tomorrow night, and it's a stacked card. I do want to ask you about this card. A good friend of mine here in Nashville who's very, very close with Dominic Cruz and has been close with him for a long time, and I've been fortunate enough to be around them a little bit. He has got quite the unique story, right? I mean, wow, what a journey, and here he is still back at it, and right there on the main event on this fight card. I mean, the last two fights of the night should be just outstanding. What do you make of Dominic Cruz's fight to kind of finish out the night? I guess it's the second to last fight.
Yeah, I actually wrote in an email to somebody. We were talking about, you know, discussing this fight and some like a UFC 249 pre-show content. And I said, Dominic Cruz has one of the most interesting careers, I think, in the sports history. I mean, this is a guy who legitimately, I thought, you know, years ago, what had the potential to be the greatest fighter of all time. Just the way he fought, how smart he was, how well-prepared he always was. He was big for the weight class, but he also had the best cardio. I mean, usually the biggest guy in the weight class can't go the longest. He can't fight for 25 minutes because he's the bigger guy. But Cruz, because of his work ethic and just his intelligence, I mean, he was turning himself into a perfect fighter. And then his body just refused to cooperate with him. He had torn ACLs. He had a quad injury, very severe quad injury. He's had a broken arm, shoulder injuries. He's lost, probably when it's all said and done, about 5.5 years of activity over the last 9 years of his career. It's insane what this guy has been through and has still been able to come back. And today, this morning, he weighed in because the official weigh-ins are the day before the fight. And he was the first one there. And just for people who are unaware, the weigh-ins are terrible, man. I mean, you feel awful. It's tough to get your body down to that weight. And here he was, you know, he hasn't fought in 3.5 years. He was the first guy on the scale. I mean, this guy is just a very, very dedicated athlete, and had injuries not derailed his career, I think we might be talking to him in the same light as we talk about, you know, a George St. Pierre and a John Jones. And that's why he's getting a title fight. You know, you don't see guys getting a title fight after 3.5 years off, but that's why Dominic Cruz is getting it, because of what he's done in his career. And if he beats Cejudo, it's going to be one of the best stories that we see all year.
Brett Okamoto is with us talking some UFC, and the first fight on the pay-per-view card features Greg Hardy. And when I saw that, or it was brought to my attention, I was like, okay, there you go, Dana, trying to get a storyline, so to speak, with Greg Hardy on the card. But what do you make of that bout?
Yeah, I mean, the UFC continues to put Greg Hardy in these big spots. And I think the narrative around him has kind of changed a little bit. Maybe not, you know, maybe it's because I am covering the sport on a day-to-day basis. So in terms of, you know, Greg Hardy's past, it's always still there. It's always still worth mentioning. I mean, it's part of who he is, and it's a big part of his story. It's why he's in MMA and not in the NFL. But I think, you know, for people who have been following his career from the beginning in terms of MMA, it's like, okay, we get it. You know, we understand his past and why he's here, and whatever your personal feelings are of it, you know, there's only so much you can say about it. And now you're starting to look at him as an athlete, and is he going to be good at this thing or not? And so far he has been. He's been very good. I mean, he's been ahead of schedule. I thought that when they brought him into the UFC, it was going to be way too quick, and they've done a good job of matchmaking him with some guys who I wouldn't say are terrible opponents, but they're manageable, you know, and he's performed well at times. He's performed poorly in others. But when he fought his last fight, he flew all the way to Russia and fought a guy who has got over 30 professional fights, and he lost. But he didn't look outclassed. And for a guy to only be training for the last 3 years and to fight a guy who's been training for more than 10 years and to not look outclassed in this sport, that's really saying something. So whatever your feelings are of Greg Hardy, he does appear to be pretty darn good at this. And we'll see. We'll just see if that evolution continues. He's fighting the guy, Jorgen De Castro, who is kind of similar to him. You know, hasn't been in the sport too long, but he's a strong guy, athletic guy. And there should be a knockout, I think, in that fight. That's what most people would predict anyway.
I look at the prelims card that'll be on ESPN that you don't have to pay for. It won't be on the pay-per-view. And Pettis and Cowboy, they're the, I guess, main event for the prelims. I feel like that's going to be a good matchup, and Dana was smart. The UFC, they were smart in making the prelim card relatively stacked to get people watching and hoping that they will buy the pay-per-view. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, they had the luxury of, and I mean, I guess you call it a luxury, but they wouldn't look at it that way, but they had postponed a bunch of events, you know, and when you postpone events, like, those cards had great fights on them, obviously. And, you know, sometimes the schedule, just the sheer amount of fights that the UFC tries to put on, it can lead to some thinner cards. Well, when you don't have a card for 8 weeks, you're going to have a lot of fights built up, you know, some really good fights. So I think they kind of took the best ones that they had and put them together on this one card because, of course, you know, they see it as an opportunity, you know, that a lot of people who maybe don't watch MMA are going to watch on Saturday, and they want to put their best foot forward. So I think it should work out. You know, I mean, the history of sport shows that you can't predict how good a card is going to be. I mean, there have been cards that have looked stacked on paper and then just have fizzled for whatever reason. But, I mean, I would think that with the lineup they have here, I mean, I will just say that I've been covering this sport for the last 10 years, and I would put this in the top 10% of cards, just in terms of depth, you know, good fights all the way up and down the entire thing.
I agree. I'm excited. Brett, really appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this. Always good to talk to you, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Of course. Stay safe, guys. We'll see
you. Right, you do the same. Brett Okamoto, who covers the UFC for ESPN and ESPN.com, does a really good job. And, yeah, the UFC 249 is going to be in Jacksonville, Florida tomorrow night. And it is that prelim card on ESPN is stacked. I mean, stacked. I've seen these are pay-per-view fighters.
Sure.
These are guys that have been fighting at a high, high level. A lot of them. I mean, Verdum, Cowboy Cerrone, yeah. Anthony Pettis. Are you kidding me? All on the prelim card? That's free?
That's a main event for
yes.
a regular pay-per-view.
I know. So, you know, Dana White has done it right. Look, he knows. He gets it. You know, he is going to get a lot of eyeballs and a lot of new eyeballs on the product. And I suspect, just like what we've talked about in these times, especially when you put a card like this together, ESPN is going to see record ratings on this, right? They're going to be blown away with what type of ratings they're going to get on Saturday night for this. We will come back. You just made the list at high noon. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.